Bouncing Death Kirk is a weekly Keyforge podcast focused on competitive play. The podcast is hosted by Kata Mode and Codameron. The show is here for listeners to gain a better understanding of how to evaluate decks, how to evaluate their own board position, and how to anticipate opponents' decisions. Without further ado, here's this week's episode.
Welcome to another episode of Bouncing Death Kirk. I am Kata Mode, and I'm here with Codameron.
How's it going?
And today we're going to be talking about tilting in Keyforge.
So when you're playing these card games at a competitive level, because, you know, we're Bouncing Death Kirk, we want to talk about these competitive situations. Sometimes you get mad. Sometimes you play something wrong. Sometimes you draw really bad. Sometimes your opponent pulls that last card and wins off of the lucky, doorstep on the last turn.
Yeah.
And it feels bad. And you walk away from the match and you're like, now I'm 4-2. I missed a cut. And you take that with you. We want to talk about how we've commonly seen these tilting, these upset moments happen in competitive play across all card games, and how we've learned to deal with that, and how you can take some of what we say here and into your games and maybe, you know, be a more level-headed player sometimes.
Yes. Yeah, so to be clear, when we talk about tilt, we're not going to go too much into salt. Salt and tilt are two different things, right? So salt is like, I lost, I feel bad, and I'm going to be like just moping the whole time. Okay, that we don't really care about for the purposes of this episode. What we care about more is when you're on tilt, it affects your play, right? Like, you being upset in the game affects how you play that game and then actually makes you lose the game. Codameron had listed it into three different categories of how you can get on tilt, and so we'll go through those three and how we can mitigate each one.
Yeah, so I think the most common ways that I've seen people go on tilt, and the ways that I've become upset during a game, is the first thing is I draw bad, or I draw really badly, or my opponent draws really well. You know, you find yourself in 3-4 turns straight of 2-2-2s, or you had this plan and your opponent had the perfect answer to it. They get you off of the key and they kill your important guy that you didn't expect to die, and you're like, ugh, there goes my whole game. I'm just going to give up now. Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
Yeah, so that's the first way. So the first way is just draws. So when it comes to draws, you have to understand Keyforge is a very high variance game. So like when you choose to sit at a table and play Keyforge competitively, you're inviting all of that variance into your game. So like that's part of it. And if like that's a variance you can't live with, you actually probably just shouldn't play the game, period. But part of learning is learning that like when it comes to draws, you can't dwell on them for too long, right? So a big mistake that players will make when draws don't go the way, either they draw in poorly or their opponent's drawing perfectly, is they don't adjust their play in the way they should, right? So they get really upset that, oh, my opponent got the draws they wanted. I didn't get the draws I wanted, but I'm going to make no adjustments just because I'm mad and I think that there has to be some holy retribution to fix this, when in reality, you need to be adjusting.
Yeah, a good example I've had with this is I'll have a really big Brobnar turn, and I'll have First Blood ready to go, and it's going to kill all of his really important creatures, and I lose my board. And now I've got no play. Well, that's not actually the truth. You look at your hand, oh, there's actually 4 Sanctum cards in there. Let's take this. Okay, I'm not playing a board-based game. Let's shift. Let's find a new strategy. Okay, I'm going to try to race a little bit. Let's see if I can rebuild a board, right? Mm-hmm. That's just how this game goes. And you have to expect that, yeah, your opponent's going to have the right tool a lot of the time, but there's a bunch of different ways that they could have had that tool to get you. And that's the short term, kind of adjusting your play style right now to fit the new situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So short term, you have to accept your reality as it is and try to find a way to win where you're at. Now, long term, it's different. So what you do is you can always reflect on games. So this has been something we covered a little bit in earlier episodes, but when you play a game, it's important to look back and think, how could this game have been different? How could the draws have been different such that either I win or I lose the game? And what you have to ask yourself is, okay, if let's say some really bad draw variance happens in a game, if the draws are different, how much different is that game actually, right? And then, like, be honest with yourself on whether or not you would have actually won.
A really good example of this is a little while back, me and Kermode and I reviewed one of his games that was on stream from, I think it was the Denver Vault Tour. And we analyzed the situation where he got hit with a bait and switch or too much to protect, whatever it was. It was really hard. And it really was annoying in that situation, and you ended up losing that game. But yeah. We were actually able to go back and review the tape and say, you know what? There were a lot of ways that you could have adjusted your play, reaping less, fighting into things that wouldn't seem optimal, and understanding, oh, there were ways to get yourself out of that bad draw paired with the way that your opponent got so lucky. There's a lot of, I mean, it's nice when you have a game on camera, but you can really go back and remember games often and think about, okay, what other ways could I have dealt with this bad situation, and how can I improve it as a player based on that?
Yeah, so you want to make sure that you can do that, because the more that you reflect on your games and the more that you just be honest with yourself on whether or not you would have actually won or lost, the less that the variance will actually matter in the short term, right? So if I go up against a bad draw and I really think about the game afterwards and I sit down and realize that actually isn't that unlikely to happen, whatever was a bad thing that happened, then the next time that happens, it's not going to tilt me. And if I'm not on tilt, I'm going to be thinking clearer. And if I'm thinking clearer, I can actually mitigate those bad draws a lot better. Whereas some people, they don't, when you don't make that reflection, just anytime something bad happens, they just go on tilt immediately.
Which kind of brings us to the second point. Because when you get on tilt, when you have these bad situations, you start making misplays. And that's the really second thing that I think gets people upset. They get upset at themselves and they go, oh, I shouldn't have played that card. I should have maybe saved this board wipe. Maybe I played a card and I forgot a rule. I remember there was a really bad Ember Imp forget. It was a library access combo that was about to go off, and the misplay was that the Ember Imp wasn't killed quick enough. Mm. And I think that player really got on tilt during that game, and I think they lost the game because of that. And I think there was still a chance for them to win if they hadn't been upset about that happening. Which, you know, misplays happen, and they are upsetting when they happen to you, and you can't take them back because you're in an important tournament or something.
Yeah, and the whole idea behind tilt is that it snowballs, right? That it's like, okay, bad thing happened, now I'm upset. Me being upset leads to me making a mistake. Me making a mistake leads to me making another mistake because I got more upset. And like, you got to cut that off, right? And that's like, and again, this is like the second reason, when you make your own mistakes, like if you're on tilt, how do you stop yourself from making more misplays, right? Like if you catch the first one, like, we have our own different ways on how we deal with it. My personal way that I deal with my own misplays is I just accept the misplay and I treat it like a learning experience. Like I'm okay losing the game because odds are whatever game I'm playing is not going to be a life or death game. And as long as I catch it and I treat it like a learning experience, it'll mean that when the games do matter, I'm less likely to make that mistake going forward.
And, you know, side note on that, if you take that misplay in stride and you talk about it with your opponent afterwards, that actually makes a good story. Misplays often make the best stories in post. But one of the things that's important for me when I make a misplay is I don't show it. Or at least I really try not to. I try to make some sort of excuse to myself that was all part of the plan, and I try to let my opponent think that was part of the plan. Oh, why didn't he reap to six there? Did he just forget that he had Mac the Knife off house? No, he must know something about my deck. Oh, no. If you can big brain it and find a way to make that misplay play to your favor, then it's all the more powerful of a move, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and to Kodamra's point, most of the times when you make a misplay, it's actually not going to be a mechanical misplay. It's going to be a conceptual misplay. It's going to be, I needed to declare one house, and I instead declared a different house. And so your opponent doesn't know that you messed up. And if you let them know that you messed up, that's going to probably affect you as well, right? Like, that's going to contribute to you being on tilt. Because, like, once you've said out loud that a mistake was made, you're just going to only think about that mistake, thereby increasing your anger level and making it more likely you make more mistakes going forward.
Something that happens to me a lot in games, just casual games, competitive games, chain-bound weeks, my opponents will go, oh, I misplayed that game so badly. if I can't believe I made so many mistakes, and I'll be sitting there like, you put up a really good fight. I don't know what you did wrong. That was a phenomenal game, I thought, from my end. So showing that really helps. And a side note, when you're watching games, right, I think about this from a commentator's perspective, but I like to note a misplay and then say, okay, you know what? Maybe that's fine. Let's see where they can go from here. Or maybe this was all part of the plan or something, because I don't know what they're thinking. But I try to give as much credit to the player as possible, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's important not to dwell on those things and just kind of move forward and see what happens next. And don't let that tilt snowball.
Okay, so now let's get to the last way that people get on tilt. And this one's a little trickier. And this has to do with conduct. So sometimes the way someone behaves impacts how you play. So this can happen in a number of ways. One way could be if you think someone's cheating, that's bad. Also, sometimes you just go up against players, they get really upset and start throwing tantrums, and then you like don't want to play the game anymore.
And sometimes you come into a game, maybe it's round two and it's you're 1-1, maybe you're 2-1, and your opponent just was on tilt from their last game, and they come in all frustrated and they have this air about them, and it makes it a less fun situation. It's important to not let that negative feeling spread, right? Don't let that affect your game, and try not to let it affect your day.
Yeah, I mean, I've had experiences before where other people's behavior has affected my play in the past, and that's something I try to never let happen again, because when you look back, you just think of yourself as a child when you do that. Because like the reality is, grown adults, they don't get upset because their opponent is just getting mad at the table, or because their opponent looks a little shifty, right? What you do is, if they're mad, that's not your problem. And if they look like they're cheating, you call a judge. Like, the, you know, at the end of the day, this isn't rocket science. You get on tilt when you see the conduct of your opponent and it's affecting you, and you're choosing not to do anything about it except for internalize it and then putting yourself on tilt.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a good point. You don't take it personally. If there's something really wrong, you call an adult. And, you know, we are all adults. Well, you know, some of us aren't adults. There are children who play this game, and I've played against a lot of great games against young adults in these tournaments. And really, it's important to make sure that we're playing with respect and we're playing to the utmost of our abilities. And, you know, just not letting that spread, because we're all here to have a good time. We're playing a game, right? We're having a fun time.
Yeah. One thing I will say about younger players, either in KeyForge, you see this in Magic, I experienced this in HeroClix a lot as well, is that
Pokemon.
Yeah, for the most part, when kids play, they're not 9. They're typically like 12 or 13, which is a really big difference. And oftentimes, there will be some sort of guardian nearby. And if a kid gets out of line, usually the guardian, if they know about it, will make sure to lecture the kid, and then the kid becomes better. Like, I don't personally see too many times where, like, a 12-year-old is just awful to every single opponent for weeks on end. That doesn't, at least in my experience, that doesn't really happen, because the adult gets there and says, hey, here's how you need to behave at these events.
Yeah, not consistently, right? Mm-hmm. We're all learning, we're all growing, we're all having a good time, and, you know, we've learned how to deal with these people, and that's why we're talking about it now, you know?
Yeah, and you don't blame the kid, right? Like, yeah. If a kid's being bad, okay, whatever. Like, you figure out who their guardian is and just say, hey, look, I played against them or her and it wasn't pretty. They didn't take it well. You know,
teach them. But all this isn't really rocket science. Just to kind of bring it back, this is mostly about, hey, you're in a game, something rough goes wrong and it really gets you. How do you let that not affect your play? You play in the moment, you kind of readjust, you take the board state as it is, you take your game state as it is, and you move forward from there. You look back on it later, you fix your gameplay for the future, and you become a better player overall. That's the core of what we're trying to say here.
Yeah, and the last piece, which doesn't go within the pillars, which is just experience. Like, just really, the more times that you get put in situations where you could be put on tilt, the more likely it is that you won't be on tilt going forward, and that you'll know how to mitigate it.
The more tournaments you lose, the more you'll be used to losing tournaments. And then it makes that win all that much better, right?
Yeah.
I've I've lost so many tournaments. I've lost the cut. I've had a whole day where I go 1-3, and it's just a nightmare. And you know what? I let it roll off me because, hey, I'm there to meet friends. I'm there to play a game that I love, and losing is part of that. You know? Yep. You can't win them all.
Yeah. And that's all we have for this episode of Balancing Deathquark. If you want to learn more about us, we have social medias. We have Facebook and Twitter. We are at Deathquark for either one of them. Through either of our social medias, you can find an invite to our Discord channel. Our Discord is the easiest way to contact either myself or Codameron. If you want more content, Codameron has his own YouTube channel where he does streams every now and again. And also, we have some spot vault tour coverage. And lastly, if you want to fly our colors, we have an online store. You can find that in the swag section of our Discord. There's shirts, there's sweaters, bags, all sorts of cool stuff. Just so if you want to have the logo and represent, you can do that as well. So tell your friends about the show, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks a bunch.